Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Pullbacks, corrections, and bear markets. Oh my. Thanks for coming back. We've seen markets go up and down for many years. In fact, if you go back to 1950, you can track them and look at all the historical perspective on this. When we see the markets go up and down, it's very, very important to keep this historical perspective. And you say, yeah, David, that sounds good. When my portfolio is going down, I don't care about history. I just care about what my money's doing today. Okay, well, that's fair. But when you think about how you need to react to the news of the market going up or down, you know, it's always the down that people are so focused on, right? When the market's soaring, we're not saying, well, you know, I wonder if I need to adjust my portfolio. Or I know, what if there's something I need to do to my portfolio to make sure it's working correctly? Because our natural reaction to something that's working is to what? Leave it alone, right? Don't mess it up. Don't do anything. You know, baseball players have all their little rituals, and other sports folks, the athletes, they have all these little rituals when they're winning. They, you know, they put their socks on a certain way or don't tie their shoes or whatever is their lucky charm. Whatever it is, it's not going to interfere with what's going right, right? So, but the market, there is a historical framework that we have seen markets go up and down, and they behave a certain way. So a couple things just from a terminology standpoint that are very important to keep in mind, and I have no love for the media. I think they create more problems than they solve. I think they, and I'm talking about the financial media. Well, the other media is a subject for another program. So when we hear, when you hear a or see either written word, radio interview, or television, and you see the whoever it is just freaking out, I mean, just melting down. There's, you know, lions, tigers, bears in the streets. Oh my, the world's ending. And then you look a little closer and you realize that the market is down 0.5%. Then we realize that all of that noise is simply to fill space, use ink, fill airtime. So always remember that they've got something to sell, and that is their advertiser's product. They've got to sell the time, and they've got to have you come back or hold your attention either, again, in the paper, on the radio, or on television. So let's get some perspective. If we look at the garden variety, typical pullback for the market, 5% or less is generally considered just a pullback. It's not a bear market. It's not a major correction. So if we have a market fall by 4%, okay, and let's just say that for easy math, let's just say that at that given point, whatever it is say the Dow. And let's say the Dow at that moment is 15,000 points. 4% on 15,000 would be 900 points? Can you imagine a 900-point drop? Whether the Dow is at 15 or 17 or 18 or whatever it is, a percentage of 4% translates to a very large point swing. So it's much more important to look at the number of percentage points than it is the points that are actually dropped. And the reason for that is if you look historically, we've come from a period where the stock market has run substantially and we've had very strong bull markets. We'll get to that in a minute. So a pullback is 5%. In my world, it's expected every day. It's not something to freak out about. It's not something that we should panic or that we should jump up and down and say, oh my gosh, the sky's falling and I've got to go to cash. It's precisely the wrong thing to do when we see a pullback. If anything, maybe we want to go a little bit more into the market. Maybe we want to reallocate. All right, let's heighten the volatility and say that we have what's called a correction. A correction is a drop of 10% or more from a previous market high. So use my same example of 15,000 points on the Dow. That would be a 1,500-point drop. Again, the sky is not falling. There have been many, many corrections in the market. They are actually fairly frequent. Now, when we have a period of kind of a lull, when volatility is lower, it's very, very easy to forget that we have this type of market pullback and corrections from time to time. So, again, not cause to freak out. Next up, the bear market. The bear market is a 20% pullback, reduction, fall from a previous market high point. Now, They sometimes come all at once. We saw back in 1987, I think it was Black Monday it was called, where we had the overall markets fell by 22% in one day. Okay, that's a big deal. That is a big deal. I'm not impervious or numb to market changes and think they're all inconsequential. By the opposite, I think that you have to pay close attention, but it is a normal part of the market cycle. We don't have bull markets forever. Now, bull market, of course, is a rising market from a previous low point. So whenever you have a bear market, and at the end of that bear market, when the things improve and the stocks start climbing again, that's the beginning of another bull market. So you don't have a new bull market until you've had a bear. The bear may be short, but you can't have a new bull until you have a bear. So now, why do they call them bull and bear markets? Well, allegedly, and this is something I don't want to test, when a bear attacks you, it uses its claws to rake you, attack you, knock you down, and use its weight. You know, these things weigh a couple thousand pounds. So hence the dragging, knocking you down, the way the market's knocking you down. Bull apparently does just the opposite with its horns. It attacks, it gores, it tries to flip the person off their feet or the animal or whatever the predator is. So these are the reasons for those names in the market. Now, if I give you some hard numbers here, just for some perspective, if you look at kind of recent history, and I use that word loosely, recent history, part of what has created some of this distortion about point gains versus percentage gains or point losses versus percent losses is that the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is comprised of 30 mega cap, really large stocks that are really supposed to just be representing different sectors, but it went on this really huge, significant, high gaining bull market from 1982 to 2000, growing from 777 points up to 11,723 points. So can you see where that distortion comes from? If you had a 50-point or 100-point drop when the Dow was 777 points, that's obviously much, much more significant significant percentage-wise than when we're at 11,000 on the Dow or 15 or 16,000 points on the Dow. I mean, 50 or 100 points is nothing. It's just the result of however the trades went for the day. But when you see the last sell-off we had, the major sell-off, that occurred or started in October of 2007, and it ran, of course, till March of 2009, and we saw a drop of 54%. The Dow went from 14,165 down to 6,547 points. So, you know, these things are very significant. Those are large movements. That's not necessarily what we see typically, but they are real. And so let me give you a bold prediction. Pullbacks, corrections, bear markets, and bull markets will occur. And we've had a lot of them over the years. There are some cliches and quotes out there that I think are perfect to kind of sum this up. You can hope for the best, but you've got to plan for the worst. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And the best way to avoid a punch is to not be standing there. So what do you do about all this? Well, you make plans before it happens. You plan as if next week or next month there'll be a pullback or a correction or even a bear market. And if you do those things, guess what? It'll help you plan stronger.
How's this for convenient one-stop shopping? Holland Financial offers so many services through its subsidiaries, like fee-based investment management, financial planning, retirement and estate planning, fixed annuities, long-term care, disability and life insurance, and tax return preparation. Our founder, David Holland, also has specialized training to serve as a trustee and executor for families wanting sound financial stewardship for their beneficiaries. Many of your neighbors and local families have chosen Holland Financial because we've helped them plan stronger. Call 671-PLAN and meet with David one-on-one, or visit Holland Financial at planstronger.com.
Hello and welcome back. Life happens. The markets are uncertain. So what do? Well, you don't sit around and wait and do nothing. You plan, right? But the best plans are carved in jello, not in stone. What do I mean by that? Well, look, I got the same question from five different people here recently about planning and how they do their investments. So each of these five people all asked me the same question, which basically goes like this, and I'll read it to you. Since I'm nearing retirement, should I get completely out of the stock market because of a recent drop? Many people have the same question. The answer is no. The answer is no. And of course, I'm going to explain, but the answer is no. So let me give you the standard caveat that I need to apply here. Everybody's situation is different. And, you know, a prudent decision about whether to be in or in the market or how much is going to depend on things like your risk tolerance, your personal preferences, your individual situation in terms of assets, liability, income, how long before you're going to retire, how certain is your job, what do you plan to do in retirement? You plan to travel, spend a lot of money? You want to front load your expenses? Are you caring for other people? Do you have dependents? Do you have obligations? There's a whole host of things that could affect or have an impact on how you invest your money and whether or not you should react a certain way. Another big one is, will you have a pension? And are you retiring at an age where you can get Social Security? Or will there be a gap? All those things will factor into should you make any significant changes to your portfolio in light of current market activity. Okay, so let's get that out, get that in there. Now, market corrections, they come. They are not an infrequent occurrence. Even if we've gone through a recent period where the market has been more tame, they occur. So let me give you some statistics because you got to keep this stuff in perspective. There have now been, if we look at the most recent stock market period, we have had three corrections in the stock market, which would be by definition 10% or more drop from a previous high. We've had three corrections of 10% since March of 2009. March 9th of 2009 is when our current, still in force, still running, bull market is going on. You say, wait a minute, how can we be in a bull market? Well, you don't have a start of a new bull market until you've had a bear market. So we are still in a bull market that started March 9th of 2009, even though we've had three 10% corrections. Until we have a 20% drop, we're still in the same bull market. Interesting, huh? That's just the way Wall Street and financial people define this. Okay, so if we look at that, we've had, let's see, how many have we had? We've had 23 corrections of 10% since 1950. So that's 65 years. We've had 23 corrections. Now, in addition to that, we've had 9 full-blown bear markets. That would be, of course, the 20% drop, right? So between the two, you've got 32 drops of 10% or more. 32. Now, let's do some math. Ready? 32 drops of 10% or more. We've been looking at this since 1950, so that's 65 years, basically. So that's if we take 65 divided by 32, then what we get is that we get a correction of 10% or more about every 2 years. So, no, we don't get bull markets that go on unfettered, uninterrupted, undistracted by a correction. We get a correction on average about every 2 years. Now, unfortunately, they're not predictable. They don't come in a nice, even 2-year interval. You may get a correction and then 6 months later get another correction. Some of them are very closely put together. If we look historically, there may not be that long of a period. We've had some very, very short bull markets because we had a bear market, had the market recover, run for a while, and then have another bear market. So you can't have any real way of predicting when these are going to occur. There's an old Chinese proverb or saying that those with knowledge don't predict, and those who predict don't have knowledge. So you could apply that, of course, to what we're talking about here. Very, very difficult, even with all that historical information. And of course, you know, we've got computers and programs and software and really smart technical people have built things to try to use this historical data and different indicators or drivers, things that would that would point toward when the next bull or bear market would be, because if they could get that right, boy, can they clean up, right? They don't have to be right one day in the market. If somebody can accurately predict exactly what the market's going to do on any given day, they've got a sure bet, right? It'd be like going into a casino and sitting down at the roulette table. Remember, I like that one. So I sit down at the roulette table and I know where the ball's going to land. I've got a sure bet. So we don't have that. Okay. We might have a hunch. We might have ideas. But if somebody tells you they can tell you exactly what the market's going to do, Okay. All right. So now back to the original question. Should I make a course correction? I'm close to retirement. Now, close is a relative term. Some people think further ahead than others, just like some people, the way they drive. Some people don't drive very far ahead of their hood of their car. Oh, the car's braking ahead of me. I better slam on my brakes. Somebody else might be looking 5 miles down the road. We all drive differently, and we also all look at things coming to us differently. Now, from a financial planner standpoint, I would tell you that the further we can look, the better, of course, because the further ahead you look, the more modest your corrections or your adjustments can be to your portfolio. Again, if you see your turn coming up ahead, you can ease over. If you wait till the last minute, you obviously have to make a sharper turn. So, course corrections. Let me give you a really distinct and very succinct point here. It depends, but if you're scratching your head and saying, you know, I feel like maybe I need to make a change, well, get a second opinion. Make sure you're on the right track. Have somebody look at it for you and give you some of their perspective. But if you're sitting there and you've got 100% of your money in the market and you're watching the markets gyrate, can't sleep, you've got your retirement, you've got retirement on the brain, it's coming, then I would say, yeah, maybe you do need to pull back. Maybe you do need to reallocate. Maybe you need to move some money. And we do this on a frequent basis at my firm. We help people look at their retirement when they're 1 year, 5 year, even 10 years out. I had a gentleman in the other day, and very wisely, he's looking 10 years out for retirement. Outstanding. That's the way to look at it. You can look ahead. You can anticipate. Speaking of that, I just had a client call me, and she just found out, or she's getting a feeling, that her job is not as secure as it was. Our financial plan for her has her working another 5 years and not drawing on her retirement and investment money until she gets to that 5-year mark. Well, with this kind of growing situation, what we're doing is we're doing a test and anticipate plan for her. We're updating her plan and saying, all right, if you lost your job and you had a hard time finding another one, and you decide to go ahead and retire, or you can't get a job for a while, here are the changes we need to make in your plan, and here's how much income you can have reliably. So that's the kind of thing you do to be prepared for these corrections and these drops. Do that, you'll plan stronger.
Are you looking for convenient, straightforward financial information? Just say no to superficial sales presentations, and yes to the free Real Money app. Get David Holland's new app for your smartphone or tablet. Just search Real Money with David Holland at your mobile device's store. You'll be able to access 17 educational TV shows, plus hundreds of radio shows and financial columns, all in the palm of your hand and on your schedule. So very easy and so very important to you. Again, to download the free app, search Real Money with David Holland.
Hi, welcome back. I've got a financial myth to talk about today. Here you go. Should, and I'll ask it as a question because that's really the best way to do it, should a well-managed portfolio be expected to beat the market? Well, the first reaction, of course, is, well, yeah, if I'm having somebody manage my money, you know, that's implied in the well-managed, right? If I'm having somebody manage my money, or I'm giving my money to mutual funds or whatever I'm doing. In other words, if I'm not doing it myself or not just putting it straight into the stock market index, then yeah, I should get a better deal. I should get something for my extra money I'm spending, right? Well, I'm going to submit to you that that's a myth, or that that's an unreasonable expectation. Not that you're unreasonable for thinking that, but that that is an unreasonable expectation. And here's why. There are a couple things to think about. And the first is that very often people use the stock market, the overall market, the market indices or indexes, to evaluate the performance of their individual portfolio. And I'm going to tell you that I think that that can be a flawed approach. Now, I'm not saying you can't use it as a general barometer for the direction of the market. For example, if the market went up 15% in a calendar year and your portfolio went down 10%, okay, that's the kind of barometer I'm talking about. That's a major warning sign that something is way out of whack if your expectations were with the portfolio that it should track the market and that it should go, you know, you're being bullish. In other words, if your plan for your portfolio was to be bullish, to be expecting long-term a capital appreciation from the portfolio because you're looking to the markets, then that would be bad that your portfolio went down 10 and the market's up 15. Now, if you had been betting against the market, in other words, let's say you were shorting the market or you were buying bear market mutual funds where the very investment itself is designed to go the opposite direction, then you shouldn't be surprised. So it's always about comparing apples to apples, and we're going to get to that. But let's say that you're looking at the indexes. A lot of people will look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Right or wrong, we can't miss it. It's 24/7 in the news cycle. All the financial shows, radio, TV, and in the newspaper, it's there every day. Why? Well, it's one of the oldest indexes, and it's just one that everybody looks at. It's comprised of 30 stocks. They are what we call mega caps. You know, you've got small, medium, and large companies that are domestically owned, operated out of the United States. And then you have what we call the mega caps. You know, you can have a large cap stock that will have a $10 or so billion overall value. If you take all the stocks, multiply it by the value on a given day, that gives you what we call market capitalization or market cap. So if you take all the outstanding shares of a company and multiply it by its current market value, that gives you the total value of the enterprise, total value of that company. Well, when you do that for some of these really, really large companies we call mega caps, now some of these are in the 500, 600, $700 billion range. The Apples, the Googles, the IBMs, the Exxons, all of those companies are enormous. Well, those are the types of companies that are in the Dow. Now, comparing your portfolio to a portfolio just of those stocks, I think that it can be a bad comparison. All right, so let's dig a little deeper here. So besides the fact that you may be looking at an unfair comparison in terms of really it being comparable to your portfolio, you also have the fact that the returns, and that's the first thing people look at, the return comparison may not be appropriate. Why is that? Well, again, back to the point of the question being, or the myth being, a well-managed portfolio should outperform the market. So if we look at that on a return basis, which is what usually people are focused on, if you compare returns, well, you have to remember that that portfolio is doing other things besides just doing returns. What do I mean by that? Well, a well-managed portfolio is going to be diversified. If you've hired somebody to manage your money, and let's say you've hired an investment advisor to work for you in a fiduciary capacity, their job is to work for you, nobody else, not for their employer, not for a bank brokerage firm or insurance company. They work for you. They don't work for a mutual fund company. They work for you. And they can pick any funds they want. So they charge you 1.25% for a whole year's work. Then they also are going to use mutual funds and other investments. And let's say that the average cost of that is 0.75, 0.75%. You can add those two together. That's 2% cost of having a portfolio, the core raw material of that portfolio, and then the person managing it or the firm managing it. So think of it as, you need some artwork. You need a painting done. The paint is your raw material. That's the cost of the mutual fund. So the paint costs 0.75%. And then your artist you're hiring to work with the paint and use the paints in the right combination to get what you're trying to get drawn. to get a pretty picture, that's another 1.25. So those are two distinct costs. But let's say you have that. So you've got 2% costs. And you, let's say the stock market, for example, in 2014, the Dow Jones was up about 7.5%. So let's say your portfolio, by contrast, was up 5%. Dow's up 7.5, you're up 5. Well, your 5 is net of those 2% fees. So if you add that back in, your portfolio would have been up 7 versus the Dow being up 7.5. So did, on that measure right there, did your portfolio do well? Well, the answer is yes. You say, well, wait a minute. It lagged the Dow by 2.5%. Yes, but you're comparing apples and oranges. Or a better analogy is buying a steak from a butcher and taking it home. You drive there and get it, take it home, cook it, cook some other stuff to go with it. That's going to be cheaper than, of course, going out to dinner at an upscale restaurant where they prepare the steak for you, give you the matching tablecloth to match your pants, and have roasted potatoes and a salad and all the fuss and presentation and all of that. Two totally different things. So keep that in mind when you think about returns. Now, the other thing about a well-managed portfolio, and this is really where the rubber meets the pavement. Listen to this. A well-managed portfolio, a big part of it is going to be managing risk. You have no management of risk when you buy an index. You just got it. The Dow's up, the Dow's down, there you are. Now, there's an argument and case for including indexing and exchange-traded funds and passive investing as part of an overall portfolio, and I subscribe to that. I think it's a good idea. I just don't think we put all of our money there because I think there is a strong argument, and history does indicate this is a good idea to have a portfolio that's not just in one thing. The people that get hurt are all in one thing. Go back to 2000, 2001, 2002. The people that got hurt the most, or one of the groups of people that were hurt badly, were folks that were loaded up on technology stock. But at the time, everybody's like, why bother with asset allocation? Why bother with diversification? Just buy technology stock. So a portfolio that has cash, bonds, preferred stocks, mutual funds, no-load funds, international stocks, a whole host of different things is going to have less risk than just putting your money all in one stock market index. So by that measure, a well-managed portfolio should outperform the market, but outperforming on what basis? On a risk-adjusted or on a measure of risk basis, because you do not want your portfolio marching in lockstep just with the market. That's a dangerous game. Diversification is the key, and that will let you plan stronger.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.